Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting verse number 4. It says, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. As you'll notice in chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, there is no period between verse 4 and verse 6. It's all one thought. And, you know, when they wrote the Bible, you know, they would take and they would put period there, or not period, but they would put commas and semicolons and stuff to split up the verses so that it's easier reading. But Paul, when he wrote to the church of Ephesus, it was a letter. There were no verses, there were no, you know, and this is the way that sometimes we need to read things, is all at one time, as a letter. But I want to look at these two verses here in their entirety and see what they really have to say. It says, there is one body. Now, Paul, in the previous verses, had talked about the unity and all being in one. Now we see that he is saying that we are one body. The word body here comes from the Greek word somath, which means the whole body. The word is found in 1 Corinthians 12:27, which says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The whole body that Paul is talking about here is the whole body of the church. Now, there's a lot of times people get confused with this, and I'm going to talk about it here in a little bit. But Paul had talked in previous verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about how if one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And, you know, that's so very true. You know, I think of the body that we have in school, believe it or not. And if there's one that is hurting in school, everybody hurts. Today, we forgot to pray for him. Why didn't you raise your hand? Say we had to pray for him. Well, yeah, way to go. Yeah. Anyway, Ariana's brother, he had to go home because his eye was swelled shut. And we thought maybe he had pink eye or something like that, but we don't think it probably was that now, because he's been thrown up all afternoon. I think he's probably got that virus that's going around. And so anyway, but you know what? He left, and you know, all the kids wanted to take and pray for him, which was great. And they all did. Everybody prayed for him and that he would get better. But listen, when the body hurts, when one person in the church hurts, we all hurt. Every one of us hurt if just one person hurts, and because we're all in the body. Now, what Paul is saying here and telling the church of Ephesus is that there's only one church or one body which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are many, there may be many religions, many beliefs, many different doctrines, but there's only one body of a church, and that is made up of those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he was buried for 3 days, that he arose, and now that he sits at the right hand of the Father. Those who believe that are of the church. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what church you go to, if you listen to a priest, or if you listen to the Pope, or if you listen to the preacher, or the rabbi, or whoever you listen to, you are not part of the body unless you are born again. John 3:3, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, listen, to be in the body, one must be born into the body. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Listen, we've got to be in the body in order to have eternal life. You know, when we talk about the rapture of the church, you know, it's not just the Baptists who are going to be raptured. It's not just the Catholics who are going to be raptured. It's not that are going to be raptured. It's not just the Joel Osteens that are going to be raptured. Well, you know, we might as well just forget about them. Anyway, it's not going to be just them that are raptured. It's only going to be those who are in the body of Christ, who are in the church, who are born again, blood washed believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I do not believe in a universal church here on earth. I want you to understand that. I do not believe in a universal church. There are many religions that do believe in a universal church and that we have to belong to that denomination in order to be in the church. But I don't believe that. There are too many different religions who believe parts of the Bible. You know, I believe the whole Bible is the literal word of God. You know, if there is a church in the area who is seeing people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is preaching the word of God, who is doing what the Bible says, I will never discredit that church. But if they aren't, to look out. You know, if a church is not seeing people saved, people getting baptized, then there's something wrong with what they're doing. Now, people who are in the body should want to see others come into the body. Amen? You know, if the body does not reproduce, what will happen to the body? It's going to die. Okay, you may say, well, how does that work? Well, okay, I myself am, my last name is Storm. Now, I had two daughters, no sons. Now, when I die, my side of the Storm family disappears because I had no sons. Listen, what we need to realize is this. If we don't lead somebody to the Lord and get them in the church, if we don't see people fill this church up, guess what? The body is going to die. I went onto this one website that I get this publication every day. It's called the New American, but in there it had that this globalization, you've heard of the globalization, okay, that's a one world government, and this, believe it or not, is up and running very, very hard. They are dictating to every country in the world what they are going to do, how they are going to worship, what they are going to worship, and everything else. They met in over in the Middle East, can't remember what country it was, but all of them met under, what's that? United Emirates World. They met under the Arch of Baal. They went and they met under there and they had prayer to Baal. I wonder what God they're looking at worshiping. Now, you notice this is not Muslims. This is not Christians. This is not Catholics. This is not any mainstream religion that we normally, you know, look at. And I don't think there was any LDS in there. They were all Middle East. Actually, there was worldwide countries that came together under the Arch of Baal to pray to Baal. I don't know about you, but my Bible says that that's wrong. And they're not part of the church.
Right.
Now, Paul goes on to say that there is one spirit. There's only one spirit of the Godhead. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Listen, when Jesus was baptized, it was one of many times that the Trinity was there. The Son was baptized. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven as a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, here we see Father, Son, Holy Spirit. People say, well, they're not all the same. Well, yes, they are. It's all in one. Now, what we need to realize here is that the voice from heaven spoke. Jesus, who did not feel it was important. You know, if Jesus didn't feel it was important to get baptized, would he have gotten baptized? You know, these churches that don't feel it's important for baptism, I don't know where they're coming from. I don't. They cannot believe in the Bible. They just can't. Now, the Trinity was also at the conception of the Lord. After all, the Father told Mary through the angel that she was going to have a baby. Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and guess what? Jesus was born. The Trinity was also at the birth of Jesus. The Trinity was also at the death of Jesus. You know, the very moment that we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. Not plural, singular. One Spirit. Now, in Matthew 8:16, it says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many who were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits," plural, "with his word, and healed all that were sick." Now, what we need to realize is this, that people can be possessed by many spirits if they are not born again. Now, what I'm talking about, you remember the maniac of Gadara? How many spirits did he have? Thousand spirits. He had a league of spirits. He had 1,000 spirits in him. 1,000 evil spirits in one person. Now, what we need to realize is that once a person is saved, and once the Holy Spirit comes into our life, there's a seal that goes on top of us. We're sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit keeps us saved, and we are in the Spirit in the church. Now, can two spirits occupy the same space at the same time, a good spirit and a bad spirit? No, it can't. If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit and you're sealed, guess what? You don't have to worry about ever having a demon come inside you. Amen? You know, what we need to realize is this, is that once we ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, the Holy Spirit comes in, he puts that seal on us, we don't have to worry about losing our salvation, we don't have to ever worry about a demon coming inside us, because we are saved from all of that. Now, so we have one spirit, and then he says, "Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." The word hope in the Greek here means confidence. As we have said earlier, we are all called for the purpose, or for one purpose, and that purpose is to lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what our purpose is to be. Now, we have the hope of eternal life through one Spirit. In Romans 5:5 it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You know, we have all been called into salvation. You know, all will one day give an account of whether or not they received or rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. Do you know that everyone is given the same opportunity to get saved? Sometime, somewhere, somebody went up to somebody and they said, "If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" And they go, "What? No, I don't want to get saved." One day they're going to stand before God, and on this big screen, all of a sudden, here's this goofy guy walking up to this guy saying, "If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" And this guy says, "No, I don't want to get saved." It's going to be on the big screen. Everybody's going to see it. "Oh, no. I didn't know this was going to happen." Too bad. So sad. Too late. That's what's going to happen. We need to realize that when we're given the opportunity to get saved, we need to take that opportunity. You know, we've all been called into salvation. For many are called, but what? Few are chosen. You know, those who have been called and answer that call have a home in heaven. Now, they have the hope or confidence of the calling by one Lord. Now, let's take a look at this one Lord. Here we see the second of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the Spirit previously in the verse. Now we see God the Father, and we'll see him in the next verse. But here is the only one Lord. One Lord. One. That's all there is. One. He is not a brother to Lucifer, like some other cult religions believe. He is not just a good man, like other religions believe. He is the Son of God. Philippians 2, 7 and 8 says this, "But made him of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He is the second of the Godhead, and he is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Now, in Romans 8:34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Wow. No matter what man may say, think, or do, there's still only one Lord. And that's who we have to go to. We don't have to go to the Pope. We don't have to go to the rabbi. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to go to the preacher. We just have to go to the Lord. One faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. It isn't something we can see. It's something that we believe in. You know, the definition of faith could be this. The faith of the gospel is the emotion of the mind, which is called trust or confidence experience toward the moral character of God, and particularly of the Savior. You know, the faith of the gospel is the emotion of the mind, which is called trust or confidence, exercised toward the moral character of God. Wow. And particularly our Savior. You know, faith is the affectionate, partial confidence in the testimony of God. Do you believe what God said? I do. If God said it, it's settled. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. It's still settled. Amen? Faith is the affectionate, principal confidence in the testimony of God. Now, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have faith through the believing of the things which are in this old book. Amen? You know, it's amazing how many people don't believe the Bible's true. They think it's just a book. It's a living, breathing word of God. You know, we have faith through believing the things which we hear and cannot see. You know, we have faith that Christ is going to return, don't we? We have faith that the Lord raised from the dead. We have faith he is building a mansion for us. We have faith that one day, very soon, he's going to return and take us home to heaven. We have faith there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We have that same faith that George Washington was the first president of the United States. Amen? You know, let's face it. How many of you were living when George Washington was here? I wasn't. I wasn't here. One baptism. Yeah, there you go. One baptism. In Mark chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and straightway cometh out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him in, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. There's only one baptism, and that is by immersion. Now, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo. And what that means is fully immersed or fully wet. Now, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Now, I've seen pictures of him having water poured over him in the river. Now, according to the Bible, it says straightway he came out of the water. Now, what does that mean? People say, well, he walked out of the water. No, it isn't. That's not what it says. It says that he put him under, brought him back up, and when he came up, here comes the dove out of heaven. And a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what baptism is. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's what it is. And how these people can get so messed up in their baptisms is beyond me. When Philip was going along the road, he saw the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading in Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? He goes, no, I don't. Can you take and explain it to me? He goes, yeah. Got up in the chariot with him. Sat there and explained to him the whole book of Isaiah. He says, well, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He says, okay. There's water. Let's go get baptized. Now, I do not believe that it was just a little puddle. And he went down and picked up a little water out of there and sprinkled it on him. I believe this was a big body of water. Took the Philippian eunuch down there, put him in that water, dunked him under, brought him back up. And it says immediately Philip was gone. Wow. Wouldn't that be cool? That would really be cool. Boom, just like, yeah, he's gone. Yeah, I mean, here's the Philippian eunuch still standing in the water. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? You know what I mean? But there's only one baptism. You know, it's by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are those who say that you can be baptized other ways, but the Bible says there is only one way. You know, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here we see the climax of these verses wrapped up. And here we see the first of the Godhead. Paul has left the best till last. One God and Father. Notice that? He says there's only one God and Father. There's only one God. He does not have eight arms. He does not sit on a mantle. He does not sleep. And he is God of all. You know, when Elijah went up against the 400 false prophets, remember that on Mount Carmel? He went up against 400 false prophets of Baal. 400. What happened? Did he pray like they did? 400 of them praying to Baal all at the same time, cutting themselves, bleeding all over the place. Old Elisha, he says, hey, maybe he's sleeping. Remember? They yelled louder and louder and louder. All of a sudden, Elijah says, okay, get out of the way. It's my turn. What did he do? He poured water over it four times. The rocks were soaking wet. The wood was soaking wet. The sacrifice was soaking wet. He says, okay, Lord, show a miracle. And just like that, fire came down from heaven. The Bible says it consumed everything. That meant it took the wood, it took the sacrifice, it took the rocks, and it licked up all the water that was around it. Whoa. Who did that? God. You know, what we need to realize is that we serve one God. You know, when the children of Israel were up against the enemies, they went to the only true God. 3,915 times the word God is used in the Bible. Do you think maybe he's a little bit important? You know, he is the only God in his overall. He is above all. He is through all. And he is in us all. Wow. What a precious thought that God is living in everyone who believe in him. You know, we need to understand that we all are in one Lord, as one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. You know, it's hard many times for us to understand the Trinity. How that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit can be one God, but three separate. They can separate themselves. Now, I can't separate myself from my soul unless I die. I can't separate myself from my spirit unless I die. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to really try to find out how I can do that. But someday I will. But we need to realize that we serve a true and risen God. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us. We go our various ways. Bring us back.